And we've only been in the country a week, but we do thank God for the fellowship and meeting up with those with whom we've been associated over the years, as well as meeting new friends. Now let me tell you the story of a missionary from the Word of God. And say, boys and girls, I'm so glad you're here. You know why? I always think about you when it comes to the work in the regions beyond. Why? Because so many boys and girls hear the call of God, like David Livingstone and Robert Moffat and many others. Even as a boy or girl of six, like my wife at six. And so I've kept the best wine to the end. You know what they are? I'm going to show you a few animals from the country from whence I've come, because the ultimate in all safaris for all of Africa is the land of Kenya. Now let's see what the Word of God says, because that's more important than anything I can say. So we turn in our Bibles to the first book of the New Testament. It's called 1 Thessalonians. You can take James if you want, but here is a book that was written that sets the pace when it comes to the great doctrinal status of the New Testament. And that is, the Lord Jesus who came is coming again. And here's a leaf out of a missionary's book. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we read in verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, because those that are bound in heart are seldom far apart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. There's the first thing, the desire of the missionary. He always loves to come back home and see the friends that support him in prayer and are behind him in the things of God. And he always has that desire to see, and especially his children, his grandchildren, because they grow and develop, and we miss so much in life often when we're abroad. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. Now look what it says. But Satan hindered us, and I proved it again and again in the things of God. And that's why so many Christians do not know the tremendous value of prayer for those who are abroad. Because it's foolish to compare the need in this lovely, lovely city and then try and compare the need to the city that I take you. That's Africa. This is America. And there is a tremendous difference. And I don't make comparisons. All I know that I'm under the doctor right now. And when I want a doctor, thank God for the few Christians. And when I want a dentist, and you can only find one dentist in 25,000 people, how could you ever get an appointment in less than a few months? But these are things that are realities. Now verse 19. For what is your hope or joy? Three words. Or crown of rejoicing. How beautifully he puts this together. Our consolation, our stimulation, our coronation. For what is our joy or joy? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Three simple things. Here's the desire of a missionary. Don't you think we miss home and coming back to see loved ones and friends, especially your son, like our son here? We don't know how he's getting on, but he has to live this way. God help him. And if he's going into medicine, how he needs our prayers. And sometimes where we fail is praying for the same initials as our brother's got here. As soon as I hear that name, PK, we hear it all the time in Africa. What does it mean? Preacher's kid. Here it's Preston Keith. But a PK is a preacher's kid. And when he go into some of these things like medicine, and he promised he'd phone us today, but can't even get time to phone. Sometimes they don't even get an opportunity to have a decent meal with us. And I know that people are busy, and I know that we're living in an age of great rush and so on. But my, when you think of coming home and then you see the youngest of our little family of six, how wonderful.
Why? Because he needs to be strengthened in the things of God. He doesn't have any time much to pray. Doesn't have much time to get into his Bible. And that's why the fellowship of a dad and a mother is such a precious, precious thing. Then we phoned our daughter way in Phoenix to see how she's doing. We just come from a daughter in Montreal. Our kids need. And so you see here, there are three things. One is desire. The second one is the devil. Now I ask you, do you know anything about him? Well, let me tell you, you set your face to live for God. And you set your face to try and win somebody to Jesus Christ. And you set your face that you're going to live really for God and honor Him. And try to get people saved. And try and get God's people in right relationship with Him by the help of God the Spirit. You go in for something like that. Within 24 hours, you'll know there's a devil. And if everybody speaks well of you, God help you. And if you have no enemies, something must be wrong. And it's never been that way in my life. Because we serve the Lord Christ and we know we're on the winning side. But I'm not out of this world yet. And sometimes he hinders through the children of the believer. Sometimes he hinders through something physical. In the ordinary everyday life, till you get to the place when you really wonder, does God care? And then other times, he hinders when you see God beginning to work in the lives of people, and especially when it comes to worship. And you try to go out to the mission field and get a few people to the Lord Jesus, and then get them into what we would call an assembly, meeting in the Savior's name, breaking bread by his command, and get them into the place where they just want to worship God. You'll discover that there is a mighty force for evil in this present world, in this evil age. And so that's why you have the devil. And he'll never be very far apart, because when the Lord Jesus was on this earth and the dove came, everybody knows what the dove symbolizes or suggests, but the very next few verses, and Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the dove and the devil, they always are together. And when a man wants to be filled with the fullness of God and go God's way, they'll even find fault with that. But as he moves God's way, he has dealings with God. He sees God come in and answers prayer. He sees how God acts in sovereignty. And he sees how God acts in a marvelous way in the rebuilding of lives, in the reshaping of lives, in the changing of lives. And there's more to be said for that than all the philosophies and the theologies that you find over this present evil age. And that's why the missionary goes forth with nothing much but the Word of God. But what's he got? He's got a message. It's the love of Christ. He's got a motive. It's the love of Christ constraineth me. And wherever he goes, he has little, as far as this world is concerned, to leave. And that's true of us. But he's got a lot to love. There's no work in all the world like it. And that's the third thing. Paul had souls. And the man or woman that wins souls for Christ, God says he's a wise man. He that winneth souls is wise. And therefore, in an audience like this, how many will be in heaven because you've been here? How many will be up there because you walked the streets of Winston-Salem or you dwelt on this planet Earth? What a wonderful day. And when we all get home to heaven, what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye? That's why I just love to go to the little island of Bermuda, because we made assemblies there now. And in my early, early days, what a marvelous thing to go from the Piedmont area, right from here, with these men of God who have served so well down through the years, and leave here, and my first field, the islands of the sea, and then Jerusalem, and then Africa. And this is a little story, a page, out of a missionary's life. Our desires are just like yours, human. We love to see people. We love to be among our friends. We love to be with the people that really know us and we've dealt with, and they've observed us, and they've discovered that we haven't got any wings. And we're not some pious fraud, but we're real people of blood and flesh and bones. But we have the Spirit of God. And we follow and we follow and we go. And the hardest thing in the world is when you have to leave your kids. And the older you get, it doesn't get any easier. And there are desires. But my verse for life, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. But I've experienced something in the work of God, the devil. And that's why we need to keep close accounts with God. We need to bind ourselves together and really learn to pray. And we need to count on one another to uphold us, because we need the help of God as a preacher, a teacher, a pastor, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, whatever it is, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. We need the help of God. Pray for one another. And what's the great and wonderful result? Well, he tells us here, because when he writes his book, and he's writing to the saints at Thessalonica, and you can go there today and see a hearty, thriving group of over 150 Christians meeting in the Savior's name away up there up at the top of Greece, Salonika, or you call it Salonika. And there's a group still moving on for God in what we hear, Thessalonica. Three books in the Bible named after women. This is one of them, the Thessalonians. And so here you have the coming again of Jesus Christ that whets my appetite, that stirs my spirit, causes me to act in relation to service, then in relation to souls, then in relation to the sanctity of my life, then in relation to the sorrows of life, and then in relation to the signs that are all about me. And he goes right through. And if I believe that Jesus Christ is coming, and I believe that he may come at any moment, then it spurs me on to get going for God and move for God. Because the time is far spent. The night is at hand. One of these days we'll be all out of it. And how marvelous. If the Lord Jesus came, are you boys and girls ready? Do you know that he's coming, and he's coming soon? Do you know he's your Savior? Well, I count on you. You're the future of this assembly. If we haven't got any boys and girls, you might as well pack up. And the whole future wrapped around these coming boys and girls. And so we thank God for the desire of the missionary. We pray to God on account of the devil and the missionary. And we bless God that it's not all in vain, because long before you get out of this world, God will give you fruit. And fruit that remains. That's why it's a joy to be here, a joy to be in Bermuda or out in the foreign field. And with the help of my wife, my faithful Epaphroditus, we'll carry on now in the work. And we thank God for the machine and for those that helped us in being here, like David and his wife. Thank you. And this thing that's in my pocket, it does its work? All right. If you see a little light or any beep, you'll know it's not a doctor. It's all right. Now let's go to Africa. And it's our privilege tonight to go to a city, a country, to experience a challenge. And as we come to this great and wonderful city, it's called... Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, say, isn't it marvelous? We just do trust that nothing breaks down, because out in Africa, Lord, so many times, once a week the water always goes off, and never failing, once a week the electricity goes off, so we live this way. And if it all goes through tonight, I know I'm in America. Okay? Well, here we are. We are in the capital of the third world. It's called Nairobi. It's over 1 million. Now, you boys and girls, if you know your geography, what's the greatest city in Africa? Well, it's Cairo. And what's the second greatest? Lagos. And what's the third greatest? Nairobi. But this city was selected by the United Nations to be the capital. And so they got their independence through much bloodshed and the Mama Rebellion. And thank God, for over 20 years now, we've had a measure of peace. How long it'll last, I don't know. But this is quite a country, a little larger than Carolina, but we got 18 million people. And in this country, we thank God that we have a man at the head, like when I was in Zambia, with whom I had personal dealings. And this man has given us the privilege, his name is Moy, to get our books, our seven little paperbacks, into all of Africa. And not only that, but at the government's appraisal and approval, we had the privilege of taking all the Christian teachers of our high schools and giving them courses on the value and virtue of the Word of God. And that's been a wonderful experience. And for us, it's just like God keeping the best wine to the end. But its ultimate is the animal world. And its number one industry is tourism. Then comes tea, then comes coffee, and so on. But here we have in this country, one of the fastest growing countries in the world when it comes to birth rate. Most of the people are able to feed two, but they always have six to eight. And it's a great tragedy because there is so much in the way of starvation, so much in the way of drought, because most of the inhabitants live in the central part. And then we have so much of the country desert. And they all congregate in two or three cities. And that's what makes for vice and violence in such a city as Nairobi, of which we could tell you many things, but we're not going to dwell on that. We are going to dwell on Nairobi because of the brethren at CMML, the men at Emmaus Bible College, and then a call from the country. They needed a senior man, a man who had had some experience. Would he come out and help because of what has happened to the assembly and what has happened to Emmaus? And my wife and I arrived there, and this is the city to which we came. Everything's built around Joe Kamyatto. He was the forerunner of independence. And then in order to keep their African heritage and culture, they built this African center. That's where we had Expo last year. And while the country is wide open to anything pertaining to the gospel and the president, we have his endorsement. It's a marvelous day for getting in. The main language is English, then comes Swahili. But in the meantime, the great need is sowing the seed and doing what we can, for the time is short. I often wonder when the lid will blow off like it did in South Africa. I have often said, 5 years ago, you'll see days in South Africa you never could believe. And we've lived to see what Idi Amin did to Uganda. And its country is utterly devastated. But in this country, there is progress, there is development. And yet, 95% of every building that you see and everything that goes on is done with outside capital. And how can you flourish in this way? And so you go downtown. Isn't it lovely? My, what beautiful buildings. Look at this park. And as you move around, like tourists do, they think, isn't this wonderful? But they don't know the other side of the coin, like the missionary. And you come on a visit, and you have any time. We'll show you the other side. And that's why Jesus, in his life, he went to the other side, because he knew that he would face a land of deep, deep need, and especially demonism, as he met on the other side. If any of you want to have a little idea of our country and something of its background, then go to see Out Africa. Out of Africa is one of the grandest pictures that has been taken for this year as one of the best. I'm not talking about anything to do with sex. I'm talking about the country. Here's where it was filmed. This was the first hotel, the Norfolk Hotel. And what has taken place in the less than 100 years is absolutely marvelous. But for scenery, for development and growth, there's no place quite like it in all of Africa. And I've been from one end of it to the other, and I've served in 5 countries. And when we go for a week to Park of the Palms to preach, each night in the week, I'll take a different country where God has privileged me to serve and just illustrate by means of picture, because one picture is worth at least 10 or 100 words. So here is the Norfolk, and it forms the basis of Out of Africa. There are 2 famous mountains. This is Kilimanjaro, and they always refer to ourselves as Kilimanjaro because we've always got snow on our top. And this is a mountain that has snow in its top. You always see it. Then we have one other mountain. Yeah, we have one other mountain, Mount Kenya. And this is not too far away from Nairobi, 1.5 hours. And it's a lovely place to go. And one of the actors here by the name of William, what was his name? Grace Holden. And a few of these men got together. And at the base of this mountain, they built one of the most beautiful places for the care of animals and for the preservation of animals that get sick in the forest. And that's at the foot of this mountain. The other one you'll come to when we show the animals. That's called Kilimanjaro. Now, here's what we're interested in. This is what we're interested in. It's our chapel. And here in this lovely little chapel, a beautiful building, it lies between the boys' dormitory and the girls' dormitory of the University of Nairobi. It's in a strategic place. And for 15 solid years, been going another course. Some of our brethren have visited there, and they said it was hopeless, especially as they passed through. And when I meet up with Dr. Barlow, he'll be worried when we were going out there what we would find. And men like Brother McKenzie that's gone on, and Dr. Harlow, they just wondered. Why? Because when we arrived, they didn't receive us, and we had to sit at the back. And we listened to the preacher. They always got a fellow from outside, and he would preach. Usually it would be one of the ministers. Didn't matter what his persuasion was, as long as he could preach. And in the congregation, there were 7 people. And according to law and according to the government, you should have 10 at least in any local church. Well, we arrived at this place. I'd known. I'd visited there many times. I knew what was taking place. And thank God for the Africans who were there, because they had exercised. And after being there for 3 months, they approached us and they said, Brother Rainey, couldn't you, your wife, meet with us or do something and help us to get back to the Bible? Well, it was like music to my ears. And under God, we were able to meet with them in secret for 3 months, and then we devised a plan. And on a Sunday morning, it was announced, because according to law, everything out there is like Medes and the Persians. You must do it a certain way. It's according to the law of the country. That if you're going to do anything, just like you have to announce if a person getting married and post it up on your, in the assembly. So you have to post up if you're going to have a special meeting. We called a special meeting, announced it 2 weeks ahead. And then one of these black brothers, he stood up and he said what we were going to do. And you could have felt the chill all over the place. There weren't very many. And they blamed it, of course, on me. It was nothing to do with me. It was the unanimous opinion of the men at that time in the local church, if I would only rise up to help them. And that's why I said, that's why I've come. I've come from God, for God. I haven't come for any man. And I'm going to stick to the Bible, no matter what it costs me. And so this assembly that was going for 15 years the other way, now we announced it. What happened? 3 of those were over 75 and trustees in the building. They kicked up a fuss and they left. And the goodness of God, we got one back, but the others left and we were down to just a few. But that didn't matter. We started in. And what do? When I go to any assembly, as I've done in Bermuda, I get always under God the 2 fellas from at least every assembly. And everything that God has taught me, I teach them, because they don't have the opportunity of going here and there to learn. And here's these men. And there they are. What a story, each of their lives. And we took the course by Alfred Gibbs, how to preach and teach. And then they received their diploma. And where are they now? Well, that's a story in itself too. Because these men are the future leaders of the work out in Africa. And that one in the yellow shirt, he's right in Los Angeles now, taking a course with Bill McDonald and a few others. And I trust that he'll be a blessing when he returns, and a better help and a greater help. And this man here in the green, he works among the refugees, and it's simply marvelous when he would arrive at the chapel and he said, Brother Rennie, will next Sunday be all right? And he'd often bring 10 or 12 people to be baptized. And these are things that you see, but this is the first thing that we settled in to do, to look over the situation, get whatever we could, and start working in a systematic, planned manner to get the word of God into the hearts and lives of these men, and then let them follow on. So that's a way back, and here they are, and this has all taken place in this last 2 years And now they've scattered. Then our assembly, that hadn't been functioning for years, is now a meeting place for many people coming from all over the world. And so here we have the Ugandan. Look at this girl and her husband. He was a pilot with the Africa Inland Mission. And he just loved coming to the chapel. Comes from Detroit. He's a Loudons. And if you get the missions, just to go to the back page and read about them. This couple had a tough time. He wanted to be in the assembly. But he was AIM and he was a pilot. And I said, oh, John, our need is so great. If only we had the help. Boys from England, the girls from Hong Kong, this one's from England, that one's our first missionary from South Africa, now she's taking a special course, and the last one's from Phoenix, Arizona. And every Sunday, we'd have 10 or 15 visitors. When we have the singing, that was a great time. Then we would have introduction of any visitors, and our Sunday school is simply marvelous, the way God put his hand up, because it was next to nothing, and now a Sunday school is tripled. But these are people in the assembly. And here's David Dunkerton, who for 11 solid years was in our city and never came near the meeting. And one day I said, David, why don't you come and just see? And when he saw the way things were moving, he says, this is my home. And it was like a sheep that came back and had to stand up in the assembly and announce our brother David Dunkerton is going to unite with us with his wife and two children in fellowship. And what a blessing and help he's been. And his brother, he's head of Emmaus. You can get those two out in Africa. We'd see something moving along. But we have a lovely place and a very, very fine chapel. And now, under God, it's moving ahead. And so the Sunday school that was down next to nothing, met down in the basement, now it's altogether different. And it's moving along. And it's a marvelous time when Sunday morning comes and all the people get together. Of course, we use English. And this is a work that's growing. But when my wife and I started out with the Sunday school, it was just odds and ends. But even in that, God helps. And then this year, the brethren away down in New Zealand wanted to come on a businessman's safari. So a group of them came. And they stayed for 3 months. And they represent two or three of the assemblies down under. And then there were five others that I'll mention later. And they came. And what did we do? We decided to meet together and to unite and help each place. Because there were three little groups, but none of them were in happy fellowship. And under God, I got the leaders. And I said, look, if we're ever going to get anything, and you live in this city and I live in this city, we should meet together. We should learn to pray. We should learn to be together. And in the goodness of God, that started. By the time these men come, the step had been taken, and now we all met together for several weeks. We had Bible studies every morning. We took these people through the Word of God, and they did much to strengthen and help in the testimony. But I'll tell you about these men. Here they are. These men are real fruit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's five of them there, and then Ben is the result of a little evening Bible study. And he's one of our deacons today. But these five men, they came one day and they came to the door of the chapel. And we received them gladly. And we said, could we help you? Yes. They said, we have heard that you meet like we meet. I said, where'd you hear that? Well, they said, we heard it 200 miles from here, that you meet like we meet. We meet around the Lord Jesus. We believe in baptism. We believe in the breaking of bread, but we haven't got any preacher. We haven't got anybody to help us or who can teach the Word of God. We would like to see how you do it. So they all came and sat. They came along to the Wednesday night meeting. They saw the way it went. And then they said, we have come to seek your help. We didn't know what to do. So we arranged that two of us from each of our little assemblies, that we would go and see the grace of God. So six of us, three blacks, three whites, we all went up. And when we got up there, it was simply marvelous. We met in a building. We met in this building. And then they explained to us how they met. We explained to them how we met. Then they took us to the first little group of 25. The next group was 40. And the next group was over 100. And they hadn't had a missionary for 15 solid years. And what were they doing? They were meeting in the Savior's name and following what they knew of the New Testament, but they had no one to help them. Guess who's there now? The Loud and boy and Karen, just young, but God in his wonderful way brought them back, the brethren phoned me all the way from Detroit. Would it be possible for this young man to come? Because he's come home, resigned his commission with the Africa Inland Mission as a pilot, and he'd like to go back and get into the things there. They commended him to the grace of God. He's there. What a field he has. But those were the men that pioneered the way. And this man, 15 years ago, got reached through Emmaus, and he sowed the seed, and it was really through him that the work got off to a start. His name is Walter Nasimo. Then, at the beginning of 1986, a man came to our place by the name of Mr. Foster, and he said, for 7 years, I've been searching for a place to meet. They have no place. Well, I said, it's not my church, but I could take it up with the fellas. And so I met with the four leaders, and it was agreed that there was a work established in the city of Nairobi, they could meet in our place because it's undenominational. Well, he picked two men. Both of them have proved to be utterly the wrong type, and we had to deal with that. And God sent this man. His name is Joseph Ondieko. And in the goodness of God, he was in his final year in a theological college, which to me, it was questionable. But nevertheless, he came. He was trained here in the United States. He's over there. And he was seeking the mind of God. And we were brought in touch with him as a deaf man. And he has become the teacher in the fellowship with the four leaders of the Nairobi chapel. And then we dispatched one of them who was going back to Detroit to tell Mr. Foster what had happened. But we started with two men. And they fell by the wayside because of certain things. We can't go into that. And the next week, we had 15. And the next week, we had 22. And now there's over 60 coming. And the work of God has prospered. They got a little committee. And now, every Sunday afternoon, from 3 o'clock to 5, you will see all the deaf. We actually had to learn to speak with our hands. And one of the saddest things that we ever had in life was saying goodbye to them. Because we've seen the grace of God. Many of them need to be baptized, but they're now affiliated under the canopy of the Nairobi Chapel. And we're able to teach them the good things of God, the ABCs, the elementary things of the Bible. And this is Joseph. Pray for him. Here's the group as they come out on a Sunday afternoon. And all this has taken place in this last year. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a miracle. We had nothing to do with it. God opened the door. God brought the people in. We have 10,000 in the city, and we have 1 million in the country. And there is no single solitary place from one end of the country to the other where the deaf can meet. So we were able to get them established in one sense, a committee, and they're all functioning under God among themselves, and then they're using my own personal mailbox, and went to the bank and opened a little account for them, and this young man is committed to the work, and that's another thing. And we sat down in the assembly, and now we've got three commended from the assembly. How many are in fellowship? Less than 20. Where does the money come from? We have no money to build. We've got two places where we're desperate need for getting a building, but God will undertake for us, just like he's undertaken for Emmaus after 25 years. Here's the second outreach. It's called Kamathi Chapel. The Spees had a hand in this and others, but we had no fellowship with them. They didn't let us even come and break bread. And I thought that was foolish. And finally, we got in touch with this man who's there at the door, and he's the one that's now over in California. And this ought not to be. You're one of the brethren. I'm one of the brethren. Why can't we meet? And it came to pass. And now it's been picked as a site for the new work of Emmaus, and it'll become a strategic city, a center in all of the land of Kenya. And as far as the Word of God is concerned, it's reaching out to all corners of the country with its 2,800 students. But this is Kamathi. Here's Robert and Rose. They're in California, but they are the two workers. And then there's one other, and her name is Christine. And that's Rose again. And of course, if you're putting up a building in Nairobi or any place in Kenya, you've got to do something in relation to the boys and girls. So they establish what they call a nursery. And they use the nursery Monday through Friday, and the building is used for the church. So the building is always in operation. And that's the same way that we've been doing when things got so difficult with Emmaus. It was moved from downtown to the back of the chapel. And now under God, the work is moving forward. This is the inside of the little chapel at Kamathi. And this gives you another little insight into the progress and development of the work. And I thank God after all this time now, we're in happy fellowship with the Kamathi brethren. And then, of course, there's one other place. Here is the foundation for the rise of the new building called Emmaus Bible Correspondence School. Jack Lacey, when I went searching for a man under God, way out in Arizona, I found him in a selling golf balls and golf sticks in a place. His wife had been killed. He had returned from the mission field. And I looked at him and I said, "What doest thou here, O Elijah?" And in the marvelous ways of God. That was years ago. And where is he now? He's an Emmaus graduate and he's out in Nairobi and he's heading up the work, which is a great relief and blessing to my wife and myself, because we went out there, we were 12,000 in debt. The Lord helped us to get over this debt. That's in relation to shillings. In printing, we were 65,000 shillings in debt. We didn't appeal to anybody and send out an SOS. God stepped in and helped us, and we saw Emmaus that was going down into nothing because of its former director. And we lived to see God step in and actually send somebody out to help and to undertake. And now the work is moving on, and in December, the building's supposed to be finished. And we hope to see the dedication of it for about April 1987. Here's the third group, a poor, poverty-stricken little group. It's called Dandora. And the Dandora Fellowship has grown and developed, and in it we have 16 young men. They're wise and coming along. And these are the three groups, Nairobi Chapel, Kamathi Estate Chapel, and the Dandora Chapel. And all of that has taken place in the last 3 years. And here's Brother Charles, one of the leaders in Nairobi. And this is John Loudon. And he and his wife, of course, are now up country serving the Lord in this new area, as we'll get into it in a minute. This is the wonderful thing. This man's name is Norman Niasamo. And he has the work out at Dandora. They see a few people saved, and they want to get baptized. They bring them to the chapel, because they have no baptism. And the same with John, who works among the refugees. He brings them to the chapel. And the same with the other one, because they're little places. But they bring them to the chapel. Then we all meet together, and we have a blessed day, just a hallelujah day. And usually 10 or so will get baptized. And we have a special kind of day, like a conference. And that happens quite regularly. It happens about every 3 or 4 months. So it's a common sight to see someone come to know the Lord, then follow the Lord, and then gather to the Lord. And this is the step, and this is what we follow. Now the third phase of the work reached out to the tea field at 7,000 feet. And it's quite a wonderful thing, the way tea and coffee grow. And so this is in the tea fields. And when we went up through this country, it was simply marvelous. Because there we are, 8,000 feet up, and we see and understand how intricate in even gathering the tea leaves that go to make up what we drink here. You take drink iced tea and all that. But you ought to see this place going for 15 to 20 miles as far as your eye can see. Nothing but beauty. And it's all like green shrubbery. And yet they pick the little lights, the little shoots, and then they are all dried. And, of course, the process of tea. Well, up in this area, these men came. And this is the first building. And it was in this place that we came to meet these men, and we discovered the grace of God. Here are two of the leaders, Walter and Samuel. And it's an area that's given much over to malaria, and I picked up malaria there that gave us quite a time. But here are some of the men. There's Denny from Charlotte, North Carolina, a fellow that's really grown in the things of God and has come to appreciate the New Testament slant, and especially worship. And he's coming along. And then there's Dale, and then there's Robert, and then there's Charles. And this is the kind of place. The women, some of them like mere chattel, but this is what you see along the way. And we could go into other things, but these are the roads. And so we park the car over here, walk through the mud, and get to the various places where we're going. But it's quite a thing to go to a conference up there or to have a place. Here's Dale from the assembly in Dunning Park, and he's one of the noted pilots and in charge of all AIM pilots.
But he said, we're going to follow the way that we believe. But he's committed to AIM. And I believe in the days to come, he'll be a man that'll be of great use in the midst of our assembly work that is just getting off the ground in the land of Kenya. But these are some of the men, like Denny and Dale and Pete. And of course, we all went up. And it was in that hut that we met. And then we discovered the group of 25, the 40, and 100. And now, they have been to our place a few times. And when anything is up, they come down to Nairobi. And of course, when the New Zealand brethren came, they came. And then when we were leaving, they had a little farewell for us. And what a marvelous thing. And then we got our first missionaries. John and Karen are now in this area. And it's wide open. And there's plenty to do. These are government teachers. They must teach the Bible. And many who teach the Bible don't know the Lord. But these do know the Lord. And the government requested me through the Board of Education to go and hold a seminar with them down on the coast. So we went to the coast. And we had a seminar for one solid week. Every morning from 9 to 12, it was the Bible. We'd have 1.5 hours in the Bible and 1.5 hours questions. Then we had lunch, and then we met day by day. And these are the ones that we were with just this past May of 1986. And that work is endless. This is the work among the refugees. And this is Brother John, who was gloriously saved. Many of his family were wiped out through Idi Amin. But he got a building and he put it together. And then he started meeting with these poor people. And we came along to teach the Word of God. And they gave us a little farewell 7 weeks ago last Saturday. And it really touched our hearts when we saw how they got a few things together. Got nothing like this part of the world. But they had a little farewell for us. And I like the way they talk. They say it hurts us in our heart what we have to do today. But it has come. And they were saying goodbye to us. And what a place for anybody who has a love for the Lord and really can teach the Word of God, because you could be in it every night in the week. But you only got one life. You only can do so much. And so we had to bide be guided of God. And at 70 years of age, you can't go on forever. But this is the life of the missionary. Again and again, there are so many endless openings, doors that just swing open. Who's going to fulfill them? Well, do what you can. And that's what we've been. Here's another field. We got 70 families of the Jews. We got access into the synagogue. They gave us every privilege. No Jew could ever take a picture like this. Only a Gentile, because I'm a dog. That's the word for Gentile. And here's one of the most well-known doctors in the world health. And he had my wife take this picture because his son was having the bar mitzvah. And of course, all that means a great deal to us because we've lived and dwelt among the Jews. So whether we were in Africa, it was like going into the hospital. And when they took all the data concerning me, I put down every time when they put, what race. That was the way. But so I put E. And then I had to do it again on another page, E. So the lady at the hospital here down the street, she says, what the nurse is E? I said, that means European. She says, but you're white, aren't you? And I said, yeah. But I said, is that the way you do it here? You see, out in Africa, if you're born and you have a passport, you're considered one of three. You're either an African or an Asian or a European. And that's biblical. Because the gospel went to Paul, and he was an Asian. The gospel went to that man that came from Ethiopia, and he was an African. And then the gospel went to Cornelius, and he was a European. And that's the way the gospel went. And you're either an Asian, an African, or a European. So I put down in mind, European. Then I had to cross that out, according to her, and put W. That stands for white. Well, they're all shades and sizes out where we live, but how true to the Word of God. Now, just in closing, here's some of the people that we have to contend with. These are the people that have hindered the gospel more than any others in the land of Kenya. They're the Maasai warriors. And they drink the blood of the cow and they mix it with milk. And they're a tremendous race. And here you see them. And they take the blood from the cow, they puncture it, and then after they puncture it, they draw it out. And then they put it in a container and they mix it with milk and then they drink it. And they're among the tallest of the people. Their living conditions are simply abominable, especially in their cow dung huts.
and they've been a difficult people to reach. And guess who's working among them? A group of people came from Korea. And these are no easy people to deal with because of the way they are, but this is the one side and this is another side. And so the Koreans came. They couldn't find a place to meet. So we said, well, the church is available, and they rent our assembly from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And of all things, these people, the Koreans, and they're a lovely group of Christians from Korea, they do the work. And even the ambassador is in this group here. And this is the day that they had all the Messiahs together. And they've seen a work of God among the Messiahs. And when they have their annual conference, they asked if I'd come along and teach the Word of God to them for a week. And this is a real privilege. And so that's what we've been doing this past month of May. And this is the final day on a Saturday afternoon when they had a potluck supper. And the Maasai people are all there. And these are all Korean. And so that's the way the gospel spreads out. Another way with ourselves, we've been privileged to write a few books under God. And these books that we started in Bermuda now have been put into four countries with the help of the government. But the best help that I ever received from any government was Kenya. And especially...